Thank you, Jonga Kandemiri. Good evening, Zimbabwe. You are listening to Studio 7 from the Voice of America on Tuesday, February 23rd, 2016. Thank you for joining us live from Washington. This is Chris Gande.
And I'm Marvelous Mhlanga Nyahuye.
Here are our top stories this evening.
Suspect in the alleged failed attempt to bomb dairy owned by President Mugabe's family links it to Zimbabwe National Army.
We intend to prove that there was some communication between the accused person and several individuals in the army leading up to these allegations that have arisen.
An HIV study conducted in Zimbabwe and other African nations promises to prevent the transmission of the disease among women.
Our ring reduced the risk of getting HIV in women above 21 years by 56%. So already the risk is more than half reduced. So that's quite exciting.
Some Zimbabweans fear that the country may plunge into a political crisis if ZANU-PF factionalism is not properly managed.
The chances of a civil war, they are getting higher and higher almost every day because we've got the army that seems like is on Mnangagwa's side.
And ZAPU leader Dumiso Dabengwa claims that President Mugabe is grooming a secret successor.
Certainly there is a candidate in mind, and that all this is being done in order to clear the succession exercise for the preferred candidate.
These stories and much more coming up. Stay tuned.
Panic is said to have gripped senior ZANU-PF officials and army officials after a Harare magistrate court yesterday ruled that Econet Wireless and Net One were ordered to release phone records of senior army officials who were in touch with Bowman Ngwenya, accused of plotting to bomb the first family business concern, Alpha Omega Dairy Farm in Mazowe. Senior officials from Econet and Net One, who spoke to Studio 7 of the record, said they will obey court orders. The trial is now expected to play into the factional fights in ZANU-PF as First Lady Grace Mugabe recently accused unnamed army officials and party members of plotting to kill her children, Bellarmine Chatunga and Bona. Government officials told Studio 7 that President Robert Mugabe will shortly appoint a tribunal to investigate Prosecutor General Johannes Tomana, accused of criminal abuse, for allegedly releasing two of the suspected bombers, claiming they had agreed to work as state witnesses. Musindo Ungwe, the lawyer representing one of the suspected bombers, Ngwenya, tells Studio 7's Blessing Zulu that the court decisions will prove the accused worked with some senior army officials and the trial will begin next month.
Yes, I can confirm we were in court yesterday. We had gone to court to receive a ruling by the magistrate on preliminary issues that we had raised. The main issues that we had raised were that we were challenging the two charges that were preferred against the accused person on the basis that the two are premised on the same set of facts. So indeed, it is a breach of the double jeopardy principle, and that it amounts to an improper splitting of the charges. And then we had also sought information that we thought is pertinent and we still believe is quite pertinent for the accused person to properly put up his defense. This information relates to the ownership structure of Alpha and Omega Dairy, which is a center of the proceedings, as well as information pertaining to core records that is from the service providers, Econet and Net One, where we intend to prove that there was some communication between the accused person and several individuals in the army leading up to these allegations that have arisen.
Have you received any positive news from the service providers?
We are yet to receive the information from service providers, but I'm quite confident that we will receive it because now that information is subject to a court order.
That was Musindo Ngwe, a lawyer representing one of the suspected bombers, Ngwenya, speaking with Studio 7's Blessing Zulu from Harare.
The promising results of the effectiveness of an antiretroviral drug, Daprevin, for HIV prevention using a vaginal ring excites participants at a conference on retroviruses and opportunistic infections currently underway in Boston. The study conducted by the University of Zimbabwe in collaboration with the University of California, San Francisco, in Zimbabwe and other African country and African countries indicates that the vaginal ring works. Researchers are now tabulating their findings to ensure that the results go into the next phase, which will include registration of the vaginal ring method. Project Director Dr. Nyara Zomgodi told Studio 7 there is still a lot of phases that the study and findings will have to go through before the vaginal ring is made available. That is if it receives backing and is allowed to be rolled out. Mugodi says the ring proved more effective in older women than the younger generation. We hear more from Dr. Mugodi.
The exciting deal is this. We've always known that younger women, they find it difficult to use these biomedical intervention, these prevention methods. So we know that especially women younger than 21 years, it's very, very difficult for them. So when we analyzed our results, when we now looked at women, we put them into two groups across all the sites. We said women under 21 and over 21. So when we did that, we could see that our ring reduced the risk of getting HIV in women above 21 years by 56%. So already the risk is more than half reduced. So that's quite exciting. We know that more mature women are able to use these products. And if they use them consistently and correctly, their risk was reduced by 56%. And the icing of the cake is the older the woman is, the better the risk reduction by the ring. When we did a further analysis for women who are above 25 years, the risk was even reduced by 61%.
What does it mean now, moving forward, for women, especially in Zimbabwe, Malawi, Uganda, and South Africa, following these findings that you have?
There's still going to be a lot of discussions with our sponsors, the National Institutes of Health, the Division of AIDS, the International Partnership for Microbicides, who manufactured this ring. So over the next 4 weeks, 4 to 6 weeks, there are going to be discussions on the way forward. So this Aspire study and the ring study, which was a sister study, which we'll talk about if we have time, these were phase three studies. After phase three studies, we move on to what we call open label extension studies. This product has not yet been registered by our drug regulatory authorities, for example, Medicines Control Authority of Zimbabwe or the Medicines Control Council in South Africa. But already our funders are busy putting together what we call a dossier, just putting all the drug information into a document which will be presented to the regulatory authorities in terms of registering the drug. So there's still a bit of time-ish if at all it's rolled out. It won't be tomorrow. There's still several phases that need to be satisfied.
That was Dr. Nyara Zomgodi speaking with us from Boston. The conference will end on Thursday.
Zimbabweans living in Chinoy, Mashonaland and West Province have expressed mixed feelings over the security situation in the country following heightened internal conflicts in the ruling ZANU-PF, with factions clashing over the succession of 92-year-old President Robert Mugabe. Some say they are now scared that Zimbabwe might plunge into a political crisis if the situation is not put under control by the party leaders. Our correspondent Arthur Chigoriwa reports from Chinoy.
Although the situation is calm in Chinoy and the surrounding towns following skirmishes between war veterans and the police in Harare last week, most people who spoke to Studio 7 today said they fear that there could be some civil strife in Zimbabwe if the fighting between ZANU-PF is not properly managed. They said they are worried about President Mugabe's move to reprimand War Veteran Minister Christopher Mutangwa, who organized an ill-fated meeting of former freedom fighters in Harare, which was crushed by anti-riot police and a recent outburst by First Lady Grace Mugabe. Mrs. Mugabe attacked Vice President Emmerson Mnangagwa for allegedly attempting to topple her husband in a succession battle that is pitting her alleged faction known as Generation 40 and the Tim Lacoste said to be backing Mnangagwa. Kenya Zamindo Tshonohono, identity suburb, said it is likely that ZANU-PF functionalism is triggering discord in the Zimbabwe National Army, which was accused by Mr. Mugabe at a recent ZANU-PF National People's Conference in Victoria Falls of engaging in the party succession battles.
The chances of a civil war, they are getting higher and higher almost every day because we've got the army that seems like is on Mnangagwa's side, and then we've got the First Lady seems as if she's also on her side, and also it seems as if the treatment that Mnangagwa is getting from the First Lady or even the President himself, some of the top army officials might not be happy with the treatment maybe which their so-called faction leader is receiving from the First Lady or the President. So because of that, it could actually trickle down to the soldiers themselves or even to the lowest army officers, which that might that can actually trigger some kind of a mutiny or some kind of a civil war.
Zanzibar resident Timothy Ferelana concurred, saying that the functionalism indicates that there are deep-rooted divisions in both the Zimbabwe Liberation War Veterans Association and the National Army over the person who is expected to succeed the president. Ferelana said such a situation is dangerous as Zimbabwe may end up degenerating into a civil war if the functionalism is not properly managed by Mr. Mugabe and other senior ZANU-PF officials.
The soldiers, they can rebel against the government. Since the war veteran, they've got the war background. Grace Mugabe is not in government, but she's taking advantage of the husband to try to use the state funds to attack the war veterans.
Dennis Kagonye, publisher of a community newspaper, The Mirror, said some individuals within ZANU-PF and the army will be sidestepping each other in the succession battles, but the majority of people in the country will continue with their struggle for survival. Kagonye said it is impossible for Zimbabwe to be drawn into a fully-fledged civil war because of their high level of literacy.
I'm seeing the ordinary person just watching, because at the moment the ordinary person is suffering economically, and most of these people are putting all their resources to find bread and butter.
Local vendor Clement Kagarika noted that the majority of Zimbabweans generally fear any form of violence, and therefore it is unlikely that they can be pushed to the extent of rising up against the current top political leadership of the country. Kagarika cited the crushing of the war veterans meeting by the police as a sure sign that the state is geared to deal with any form of rebellion.
I doubt that very much. With the fear that has gripped Zimbabweans, there is no such thing. No one will go to war. Why going to war today? They won't even try to trigger civil war.
Despite the current calm political environment in the country, some people believe that President Mugabe is no longer in control of his party, a situation that may trigger serious internal party conflicts that are likely to affect millions of Zimbabweans currently struggling to make ends meet. Reporting for Studio 7 in Chinoy, this is Arthur Chigoriwa.
Meanwhile, ZAPO leader Dumiso Dabengwa tells Studio 7's Blessing Zulu Mr. Mugabe appears to be grooming a secret successor.
No, I'm not surprised, because I think it's within the planned strategy that has been worked out for his succession program.
But is there one, if you may elaborate? It appears there's nothing.
No, there is. There is a program. It will unveil soon, but there is a program. his own program, not the party's program.
So you think he has his own successor in mind?
Yeah, certainly.
Who could this be, the first lady?
No, I wouldn't want. I wouldn't want to hazard a guess, but certainly there is a candidate in mind, and that all this is being done in order to clear the succession exercise for the preferred candidate.
But certainly not Mr. Mnangagwa?
I don't think so.
What are the effects of these fights on the country as you see it?
Well, the effects are that if that succession thing is not done properly, it could create more chaos in the country and lead to unnecessary violent incidents which could cause people's life and probably plunge the country into a conflict, into an internal conflict, not just for ZANU-PF, but the whole country.
Many are asking, what role is the military going to play in all this?
The military, if not properly handled, could play a role. They are, I think, poised at the moment and being strategically prepared to be able to deal, like somebody said, to deal even with civil disturbances, which is in the event that things break out to that, then the military could be used. And when they are used, they will be indiscriminate in dealing with those that they would want to punish.
But do you see them as a united front when we talk about the military, or they are in different camps altogether?
The military is a machine, my friend. Most of the time when orders are given from above, they will carry out those orders.
But would you say they are still strongly behind President Robert Mugabe in such a way that they can support whoever he chooses to succeed him?
They don't have to, but they'll find themselves in a situation where they are merely being issued with orders which they've got to carry out. And it is not very easy for the military to defy those orders at that stage.
That was ZAPU leader Dumisi Odabengwa speaking with Studio 7's Blessing Zulu. Tomorrow, we'll talk to Elton Mangoma, leader of the Renewal Democrats of Zimbabwe.
For us, really, their shenanigans are such that they are taking away the attention from what really needs to be done. At the moment, I think that President Mugabe's advanced age is a risk to this country, and therefore it would be useful if he passed the baton to whoever he chooses. We don't really care who he chooses to pass the baton to. But I think that is what will bring stability to this country.
Don't miss it here on Studio 7.
Coming up,
a closer look at gold production in Zimbabwe.
But first, a look at regional and international news.
A British nurse who was twice treated successfully for Ebola was again hospitalized today, according to the health officials.
Two key international migrant and refugee organizations are drawing attention to the increased number of people escaping war and violence this year.
The United Nations Secretary General Ban Ki-moon says Burundian President Pierre Nkurunziza has agreed to begin talks with the opposition to bring an end to a nearly year-long political crisis.
The supporters of Apple in its objections to helping the FBI break into an iPhone used by a mass shooter are planning demonstrations in more than 40 cities today, including at the FBI's headquarters in Washington.
And a direct peace talks between the Afghan government and the Taliban-led insurgent groups are expected to start by the first week of March, and Pakistan has offered to host the negotiations.
Arcturus Mine, one of the country's five active mines owned by the largest gold producer, Metallion Gold Zimbabwe, has been the scene of protests and industrial action. For nearly 2 weeks now, miners have not reported to work following protests initiated by the miners' wives demanding backdated pay. Despite orders from the company for them to return to work or face some unspecified action, the miners have refused, claiming their families are suffering. Metallion's corporate affairs executive Zenzo Nsimbi says while they sympathize with the workers, the situation is out of their control due to the decline in gold prices. Nsimbi tells reporter Chiwoneso Jani workers need to return to work to be paid.
The workers are currently in a position they've been paid up to date, with the exception of the agreed portions that were accumulated during the shutdown. If the workers go back to work, they will obviously produce. And once they produce, they will be paid the salary, like we've been doing all along.
What is the state of gold production right now in Zimbabwe, especially with Metallon Gold?
Metallon Gold is five mines. Five properties in Zimbabwe. We have the Hau mine, as you mentioned, Shamba mine, Mazowe mine, Acturus mine, and the Redding mine in Mutare. Of the five mines, four are producing at the moment. Hau and Shamba are the main producing units, with Hau producing approximately half of Metallon Gold. Shamba coming second. Mazowe is producing, and Acturus has been producing until. Right. So Metallon is producing, and Metallon is still the largest gold producer in the country.
How much does gold production contribute to the Zimbabwean economy?
It's approximately 14 to 15% of the GDP comes from gold production, and the rest is from the other minerals. And altogether, I think we are about 23 to 30% contribution toward the GDP of the country.
Your employees are saying that they are getting $50 and they're saying that it's not enough for their family. And with the condition right now in Zimbabwe, do you have a contingency plan or a way of cushioning the problem for your employees?
I don't think it's correct to say they are getting $50. They are getting, on the average, around $300 a month. They are provided with free housing. They are provided with free electricity, free water, and free schooling for their children. That's the package they get every month.
Some of the employees were saying that our children are not going to school and we're not getting access to medical health.
Yeah, it depends on what grade the children they are talking about. If it's university, it is out of the mind. However, all our minds, the primary schools and secondary schools, which are provided by the mind. In addition, on health side, all our mines have clinics, which not only cater for the mine employees, but they also cater for the community within the vicinity of the mine. Of course, some might be suffering from complicated disease, which might not necessarily be accommodated at the mine clinic, but that then requires them to move to the nearest hospital. But otherwise, on the basic medical care, the clinic does provide that.
Do your employees, especially on the ground, the miners, do they know the benefits that are being given to them, that there is free access of education, health provisions, and free housing? Do they know it's their benefit?
They do know, yes. Their representatives are appraised on a regular basis. The mines hold what is called works council. Works councils composed of workers' representatives and management. And their primary objective is to discuss issues that affect both management vis-a-vis the employees and the employees vis-a-vis management. So those issues are discussed with those councils, and I assume that they are dedicated down to general workers.
Is there anything that you want to say to your employees who are listening right now, coming from head office, Metallion Gold?
To actual employees, I would say, look, we sympathize with the situation. It is not of the mind's making. It is the environment that is very key. However, let us try and pull our energies and our efforts together and go back to work and try and continue the government. That's what you want.
And that was Corporate Affairs Executive Zenzo Nsimbi of Metallion Gold Zimbabwe speaking with Studio 7's Chiwoneso Jani. For more of this interview, please visit our website www.voazimbabwe.com.
And in sports news Saturday and Sunday were a time of top-class football for Zimbabwe's soccer-loving public. Our reporter Michael Cariati has more details.
Topping the entertainment bill was the Bulawayo Football Festival Challenge, in which Islanders overcame newly promoted Kasolaga Premier Soccer League side, Bulawayo City 1-0. A solitary 41st-minute goal from Prince Dube saw Boso come out tops and confirmed the Bulawayo Giants' intentions of making an impact in the Kasolaga Premier Soccer League after last winning the title in 2006. Dynamo supporter Johnson Munashe says after yesterday's performance, Boso will be one of the teams to beat this season.
I think they are the better team to win.
Even football analyst Fanrai Kambamura is of the opinion that after years of struggling, Boso have recovered and to provide a strong challenge for the championship.
For the past 2 years, Islanders have been a depleted side. Watching them play during the weekend, I think this year they are forced to reckon.
However, despite the good show from Islanders, Kambamura believes the 2016 league title will be in the hands of Harare City and Chicken Inn, who spent heavily on the transfer market.
Harare City have got a slight edge above all the guys in the Premier League, considering they have got all the cream de la cream of the Premier League.
On the same day, Islanders bitter rivals Dynamos were in a double header against Black Mambas and Wawa at Rufaro Stadium. Dimbare fielded two teams, one against Mambas, which they drew 1-0, and another against Wawa, which they won 4-0. And Kambamura believed the fact that Dynamos could afford to field two teams against two classy oppositions shows that they have the overall strength and team spirit to sustain a realistic challenge for the league title. He says their new Portuguese coach Jorge Silva is one of the reasons why they will strongly fight for the league championship. On the same vein, the green machine of Capes United could not be left behind as they are on a tour of Mozambique. Reporting for Studio 7 in Harare, this is Michael Cariati.
Remember to stay tuned for Studio 7 Live Talk at 8:30 p.m. today, when our hosts of The Connection will be talking with listeners and experts about the impact of ZANU-PF factionalism on Zimbabweans.
Kana ari ekuichandira iriyo inozvidyira handingambodzi ndainyanyira ndinoti usararamuka kuisa seshumba fuka parwendo zacheuka ungangonyongodoka marwadzo eupenyu aungambomakwanisa zvadarika chisiya beriwonangisa Chubuchino zinira, watombo pota uchizinizira Aunga mirire kuyende, zwa wine simba chimbo ziendera Famba nefura nangu, aizu mirire iwe Inoguroga uishandire Uchida shaka kora, usimbe ichipasitwe Nemayoru watase usinga ide Uziwe kukura ngaiche igute Uwe simba ukazire Unyangwe ikashura, shepuchika shisa shimbire
That there was the music of Toki Vibes going out to you from Studio 7 here at the Voice of America.
And now to recap today's top stories.
Suspects in the alleged failed attempt to bomb a dairy owned by President Mugabe's family links it to the Zimbabwe National Army.
An HIV study conducted in Zimbabwe and other African countries promises to prevent the transmission of the disease among women.
Some Zimbabweans fear that the country may plunge into a political crisis if ZANU-PF factionalism is not properly managed.
And ZAPU leader Dumiso Dawengwa claims that President Mugabe is grooming a secret successor.
That's our broadcast this evening.
Now stand by for Studio 7 in Ndebele, hosted by me.
And I'm Marvelous Mplanganya Huye, wishing you a pleasant evening and a very good night, and leaving you in the capable hands of Chris Gande.
Good night, Zimbabwe.